Our next topic is using technology discreetly. I know there's a lot of talk about what telephones alone are doing to children. So we'll give Mark the time.
I see a different part of you standing here instead of down there. Perspective changes. And I think in talking about technology, I, for one, need to have a spirit that's ready to have my own perspective changed. I have my own ideas about technology and the right way to use it. I probably don't care to admit it, but I do have some attachment to some technologies. And a change in perspective on that isn't a bad idea. So we began this morning, holy, holy, holy. And that's one of the reasons why a topic like this matters, because the one we serve is holy. And then the last part of the last verse that Matt read, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So we begin singing about God's holiness, and we ended the devotional considering the call to our own holiness. I appreciate that. I wish there were time to go through again the passage that Matt read, and tie it in directly to my topic. Because as we were reading, I keep thinking, that has got to be said, or that pertains. This is what it's about. And I didn't take notes, and that's just fine. I think that the secret to using technology discreetly is a mystery. And I want to tell you that mystery shortly. Technology, that's really quite broad. In its simplest definition, it simply means applied science. So this is technology. This book is technology. Your glasses are technology. Do you still carry a pencil in your pocket?
Yeah.
Okay, he does. That's technology. Just a plain old lead pencil is applied science. Well, I'm quite certain that the brethren didn't have in mind that talk about using pencils discreetly. So I'll be focusing primarily, almost exclusively, on digital technology, on electronic technology, whatever you want to call it. I don't plan to spend a lot of time looking at individual things like radio or CD players or television or radar detectors or smart thermostats, and you could just go on and on, but rather looking at some principles, some guiding concepts. When I was typing out my notes, I got to the word discreetly, and for the life of me, I couldn't figure out how to spell it so it looked right. I tried the EET route, and that's what's in the program, and I figured it was right, but it didn't look right to me. So I tried the ETE ending, and that didn't look any better. So I finally looked in a dictionary and found out that there are actually two words pronounced discreet, and the one is, as we're using it this morning, and the other one is the ETE ending, because I finally, in exasperation, typed various renditions of the word in my computer and then ran the spell checker, and it didn't gag on any of them. So then I was confused. So that's why I went to a dictionary finally. So much for technology. Sometimes you can depend on it, sometimes you can't. But discreetly in the Greek simply means prudently. The NASB would use the word intelligently here as opposed to discreetly. or rather where it uses the word discreetly in the New Testament. In Spanish, it uses wisely. So that kind of rounds out our understanding of what discreetly is. If you were to look in an English dictionary, you would end up with carefully, with good judgment, and with wise self-restraint. And that was interesting to me. Well, my notes consist of three main sections. And the first section and the last section are just too far encompassing to treat adequately, even on a weekend, I think. So we'll just hit some points that to me were high points this time around. So I'd like to begin by considering some principles and precepts from God's revealed will. I have five points on that. I think if we just took the devotional passage, we could call at least that many more. But let's stick to these five, and let's start in Colossians 1. While you're turning there, I suppose it was on the last day of last year, I decided that in my Bible reading, my personal Bible reading this year, I would read a chapter a day through the epistles and just cycle through the epistles till I got to the end of the year. I didn't count chapters. I didn't know how it would work out. I figured I'd get to the end of the year, if we get that far, and I'd be partway through another round of the epistles. Well, at the end of April, last month, yeah. At the end of April, I got to the end of the epistles. So it looks like if I stick to that schedule, I should be able to read through the epistles three times. I was a day off schedule because there was a chapter, and I don't know which chapter it was, but I read it one morning. I was just so blessed and encouraged by it, and it just seemed what I needed for that moment, that the next morning I read it again. And lo and behold, it ended up that I ended reading through the epistles at the end of a month. And I tell you that because there are some verses in my reading this week after I accepted the topic that stood out to me just from my morning reading. So as I have time and as I recall, I want to call attention to some of those as well. But here in Colossians 1, verse 26, we break into one of Paul's lengthy sentences, at least if he'd have been writing in English. And we have this: even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this mystery is Christ in us. Now, most of you, I assume, know that that's become kind of a governing theme, a life theme, a life focus in the last while. Just this whole idea of Christ in us. And I'd never made the connection till several weeks ago, thanks to somebody else, that even the scriptures refers to this as a mystery. How can this be? Well, we don't know. We just accept it by faith, and that's plenty good enough. We have that concept repeated in Galatians, and with no apologies for the familiarity of the passage, I want to read that again, Galatians 2. Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That determines how I use technology, technology of any sort. Christ in us wants to live his life through us. That affects how I use my cell phone, or it should, or my computer, or. Name your technology. Romans chapter 8. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Conformed to the image of his Son. His Son within us, living his life. Chapter 6 of Romans. Another aspect to the indwelling Christ living his life through me, through you, through us. Verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Christ liveth in me. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So how I interact with technology, invariably I use one or more of my members, which are supposed to be yielded to God as instruments of righteousness. And one more along this line, 1 Peter chapter 4. I apologize for the sniffles. My allergy medicine isn't quite working up to its design. That technology is malfunctioning somewhat. Okay, 1 Peter 4. Let's start at verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. And on and on. So the time past of our lives, that was ample time to misuse technology. Now it's time to use it right. To interact with it discreetly. All of these are aspects of the Lord Jesus living out his life through us. In our use of technology. So let's be faithful in making those choices day by day, interacting with technology, because that's the focus, but make those choices that live out the wants and the pleasures of Christ within us, because he does have wants and pleasures. Even in our use of technology. Secondly, only because that's the order in which they appear in my notes. Let's see, was it last Sunday? Sunday evening? Was it David that talked about the greatest commandment? Or was it Leland in the morning? I think it was David in the evening. What is the greatest commandment? Well, love God first, love him most, love him always, in everything. And the second is like to it, love your neighbor as yourself. Those also impact how we end up using technology. The Matthew passage ends by saying that on these two, everything else that was important to Jewish spirituality, everything else hung on those two. And so it seems to me that it would only be sensible, shall I say, that my use of technology should hang on those two hangers of loving God and loving you. The third one I have comes from Proverbs 3, so let's turn there. So on the 1st of May, is that what I mean? Is that the month we're in? Okay, the 1st of May, I began my second time through the epistles, Romans 1. And I got to a verse there and I thought, that goes exactly with this point I thought of from Proverbs 3. And I'm not particularly the excitable sort, but I got excited about that. So, Proverbs 3, and let's begin reading at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be God conscious. Always. Be God conscious. It's easy to become very engrossed with real living, but real living that is not a God conscious living really isn't truly living. And so acknowledge him in all your ways. Years ago, I used this verse in talking with students at school. And for the sake of the younger ones and trying to explain this acknowledging God, what's that? And I suggested to them that they think in terms of, hi, God, anytime, anywhere, hi, God. It's not just, if I may put it that way, Christ within us, it's God everywhere. Acknowledge him. That sentence I'm about to say, acknowledge him. That sentence I'm about to write, acknowledge him. That thing I'm about to do with this thing, acknowledge him. Recognize his presence. Let it matter to you. I think I have the sound turned off. But technology and doesn't always cooperate with me. I'm fairly confident of that. So if it rings, I hope it isn't mine. Okay, be God conscious. Give God recognition in all your ways. He's not just there for the special occasion. He's there. Don't look this way and that way before using that technology that way. Acknowledge God. Look up. Romans 1. I want to show you that verse. Romans chapter 1. So I'm reading through this chapter, and I get to verse 28, and I keep on reading, of course, and it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Well, my Bible has a little 3 by to retain. So I looked in the center margin in my Bible, just out of curiosity. And so it could be read, they did not like to acknowledge God. And that reminded me of Proverbs 3. But these are people that don't like to do that. And so then what happens? We keep on reading. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A mind void of judgment, says my center reference. An indiscreet mind, incapable of using technology discreetly because they didn't like to acknowledge God. So give him room in all your ways. Let's take him into consideration in every aspect of our lives. That's part of acknowledging him. Let's live with him and walk with him consciously. We know we're in his presence all the time. It's old hat information. Well, then we need to discipline our minds to remember and to purposefully, consciously acknowledge his presence. Now, there was something that Brother Steve said last night, and by the time it soaked in, I could no longer write down exactly how he said it, but I think I'm in the right ballpark. Here's what I wrote down. Assume stewardship, not ownership, of your life. Acknowledge him. He's the owner. Fourth point here. Let's make this the last point of this section. From Matthew 5, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's still fresh on my mind. Talked about it recently. So to use technology discreetly, I believe, requires that I have an appetite for God. An appetite for his will. An appetite for his ways. An appetite for his pleasure. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. That's what righteousness means to me. What interests God, who God is. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3 now. An aspect of cultivating an appetite for God and his will and his ways and his pleasure is knowing the revelation of those things. Treasuring the revelation of those things. Living according to them. So here in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture, that book most of you are holding, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Of God! And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for instruction in discreet living, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, including using technology discreetly. So know the scriptures. Live by the scriptures. So, we could find scriptures that tell us to yield our eyes and our brain to God. That would guide us to avoid things like immodesty, pornography, immorality, and all that kind of stuff that's available through technology. We have other verses that tell us to be content. Well, that can guide us in when we think we need to upgrade either our hardware or our software, when we need to acquire something different than what we already have, in addition to what we already have. Be content. We better move on. Redeem the time, we're told. Don't squander it with games and endless browsing, all kinds of messaging with all your friends and family and strangers on different platforms. Redeem the time. Another place, other places, we're told to be examples, either to the believers in some cases and of the believers in other cases, but be an example to everyone. How I use technology. Abstain from every form of evil, every manifestation of evil, every type of evil. So using technology discreetly does require discretion of all things. So be wise. Consider the weaker Christian. And we could just go on and on. Just taking the scriptures and bringing them to bear on how we use technology. Now, you might object to those points because really, foundationally, they just have to do with discreet living generally, in all cases. And you came to hear about how to use your technology discreetly. But this is what it's all about. If I try to be discreet in my use of technology away from these principles, it's not going to work. Not for long. Our interaction with technology, our use of technology, really is no different than just living as Christians in this world. We have no fellowship with darkness. Matt read that. We have no fellowship with unrighteousness. My second point, perhaps is a bit odd, I don't know. To me it makes sense. So we looked at the scriptures. Oh, what does our church discipline have to say on the subject? Not much. I guess we're done with that point. Well, it actually has more to say than that. I know our church discipline is not inspired. In some regards, it's not even 100% in tune with the scriptures. But if you're a member here, or maybe I should say, since I'm a member here, way back when, and I don't remember doing this, but I know it's the only way to become a member of this church. You commit yourself to living by the discipline. So I assume I did too. I don't remember. Well then, do so. Quite some while ago, I wrote down some ways that I saw the church discipline as it stands at Hopewell fitting into technology that wasn't even alive, quote unquote, back when it was written. Back when I wrote this, Abby King was maybe a week or two old. And Caleb was about the same age as his son Anthony is now. So it's been a while, 1996. Use email for wholesome and spiritually upbuilding purposes. Maintain nonconformity in conversation. And that last expression is basically from our church discipline. The first part isn't. There was no email back then. But we can take the principle, we can take the spirit of the law, if you will, and apply it to where it applies today. Another thing I wrote, computer games as well as email and other internet activities have an established potential for addictiveness. And then tying it into our discipline, maintain nonconformity and temperance. Another one. Oh, I should say this. Were there cell phones or at least smartphones back in 96? I was going to check this out. Jonathan is quite emphatic that there wasn't. So when I read computers, think little computers like these. Because this little computer is more capable than my first computer. So I wrote, computers provide ample opportunities for a wide range of entertainment and recreation, and then tying it into our discipline, maintain nonconformity in amusements and in non-resistance. So that game you like to play, if let's just assume that there is a you among us, including me perhaps, that likes to play certain types of computer games. Does it require you to be resistant instead of non-resistant? Oh, come on, Mark, it's just a game. Yeah, it is just a game. But what's happening here is not. Also from our discipline, I jotted down some other things. Avoid foolishness and ungodliness. I wrote this, members shall not, this is not in the discipline, okay? But this is what I wrote. Members shall not have software to enable their computers to play movies or access television. Our discipline says no TV. Our discipline frowns on the movie theater. Oh, great, there's our out. Well, is it? Here are some other things I jotted down more recently from our discipline, and I'll just read them. They come, as I recall, just straight from the discipline. Practice gospel simplicity and separation from the world. Using technology discreetly. Oh, here's this one. Members shall not attend or participate in commercial motion pictures. Members shall not patronize television. Now, I know. I'm not that far out on a limb to say this is TV. Or a commercial movie house. I know it isn't. But the capabilities it has, it seems like would put me crosswise to the intent of the restriction I signed up for when I became a member. And then one more from the discipline. It is the scriptural duty of members to refrain from useless expenditure of money in ways that do not bring glory to God or good to mankind. Now, how do you like that one for just a broad statement? But it's expected of us, and we signed up for that. Somehow, some way, we've got to live it out or change the discipline. Don't say don't if you don't mean it. Just a parenting tip from a veteran who learned it too late. Well, that's 2 points, main points. I want to take some time to give you some of my concerns and some cautions about certain digital technologies. I'm just not going to get there. We're going to have to leave it with principles for the most part. But we do live in a dangerous age with a lot of information, a lot of disinformation, a lot of deception, and we have to be discreet. We have to be wise. We have to know truth. We have to acknowledge God in all our ways and make our decisions based on the one living within us. One of the expressions I've heard is the internet never forgets. Well, never say never, but the internet never forgets. When you click send on your computer to send that email or post that message, when you tap the little green thing or the little blue thing on your phone to send that message, you've lost control of that. You can delete information from your computer that you posted online, but it's still there. Be wise. Smartphones. Users need more smarts than they have sometimes. So many lures. All of them with hidden hooks. And undeclared costs. Oh, but it's free. I doubt it. Oh, sure, you didn't part with any cash for it. Our phones have or have access to apps for surveillance and recording and remote control. Handy in their own ways, dangerous in their own ways. They have apps for buying groceries and avoiding law enforcement. Used to be you relied on radar detectors and before that on CB radios. Now you can get an app for your phone. Speed trap ahead, slow down. You shouldn't need that. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but there are also apps for Bible reading and study. Well, use something like this. And I'm not going to get into the whys of it. I'm starting to tread on another's time. I would say, to me and to you, be ruthless in minimizing our use of and our dependence on these things. We can do a lot with them. We don't have to. I gotta say something about Gmail, yeah. Gmail is just wonderful. I don't have to pay for it. It's so handy. On and on. I've had in mind for months to write an article for Companions about Gmail. Then when it was time to decide what to say here, I couldn't decide what to say. I'll say this. The service seems free, but you are giving up a lot to use it. I can't elaborate on that, I'm sorry. Don't be so glib and so careless as to say, I have nothing to hide. Sure you do. Absolutely you do. And Google will feed on it happily. If you possibly can, I think you should switch email providers if you're a Gmail user. Now, I have Gmail accounts, full disclosure. I don't use them anymore, but I do still have them. Even if you have to pay for it, like eMyPeople, for example. Proton has mail. So there's just a lot. Do the research. Be discreet. And one more thing. Artificial intelligence. ChatGPT, for one. I think artificial intelligence has immense potential for genuine good. I'm not blind to that. But I think that it has an enticement for the curious that will trip up the strongest. I think that it would easily provide entertainment for the bored, or the sad, or the sick, or the lazy, or the whatever. My mind is fascinated at what I think I could do, but I won't touch it. It can be a crutch for the lazy, and you can say this about the internet as well, I understand. The immature, the weak, the carnal, no need to research and study, just ask AI. The thought crossed my mind, I didn't entertain it seriously. I wonder what AI would say if I'd asked, I would like a 3-point outline on how to use technology discreetly. It would give it to me. I'm curious about stuff like that, but I won't touch it. A topic for Bible conference, a sermon to read, a companion's article to submit in my name. Artificial intelligence will do that, and it will do it, and it will sound just like Mark Roth's writing style or speaking style. You won't know the difference. I won't know the difference, except that I'll recognize that it's something I didn't write. Well, my deepest concern about artificial intelligence is that it could eventually be, if it isn't already, a gateway to greater evil. A phase of the technology that would no longer need information provided by humans and other computers to generate its output, but rather would be an avenue for evil spirits to communicate directly. Think Ouija board is just a basic example. Or the messages of a medium. And again, let's just leave it at that. I strongly urge a strong stance against using artificial intelligence at all. That just seems the safest. Well, I want to close with the last epistle. Verse 24, he is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So, let's go from here with that promise, that assurance, and that commitment.